I would like to welcome you to the inaugural 2015 capstone set of presentations. Join me in prayer. Gracious God, we are grateful for our three presenters today, for Pete, Nick, and Seth. Thank you for the ways in which your Spirit has worked in their lives and in their time at the seminary. Bless them this morning as they share the fruits of their labor and the vision they possess with us. May your Spirit move in our midst as we respond. Amen. So, our first presenter is Pete Jeffrion. Pete is a United Methodist pastor. He has served three charges. He was pastor at the Mount Bethel United Methodist Church from 2007 to 2009, pastor of the New Meadows United Methodist Church 2009 and 2010, and since 2012, he has been the pastor of the Stonewall Westview Charge, which is in the Stanton District of the Virginia Conference of the United Methodist Church. Pete has a Bachelor of Science degree from James Madison University in 2009 in the field of social science and public affairs. He is the author of a blog entitled Slow Theology. He is married to the Reverend Aaron Jeffrion, an alumna of EMS of 2009, and Aaron is here with their son, their three-year-old son, Isaac. They're in the back supporting Pete as he presents to us. Pete, welcome. We look forward to hearing what you have to share with us.
Thank you, Lonnie. Special thanks to my class and to my small group. This has been a joint effort. A special thanks to my wife, Erin, and to Isaac for all that they have given to not only my integration project, but through these 3 years. It is definitely an offer of love. This morning, we'll be looking at our lips and the Lord's word. A look at 1 Kings 2-3. As covenanting hope. If capstones had roadmaps, I love metaphors and I love mixing them, and so I just had this image of the Arc de Triomphe in France with some sort of like wiki map on there, just sort of inviting us into this time together. It is something that is an opportunity, not only for us, for me, but also for God to enter into this time. Within that, we will be taking a closer look at 1 Kings 2:1-3, also why the heck 1 Kings 2:1-3. I'll posit a question and a possible answer. And then there might just be some implications to that answer, and God willing, a few more questions. But that is less my job than your all's. And so I would encourage you all to craft fine questions. We have from the NRSV a reading from 1 Kings, verses 2:1-3. When David's time to die drew near, he charged his son Solomon, saying, I am about to go the way of all the earth. Be strong, be courageous, and keep the charge of the Lord your God, walking in his ways and keeping his statutes, his commandments, his ordinances, and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, so that you may prosper in all that you do and wherever you turn. I have to say that I am incredibly grateful for the time that we have had as a seminary to dwell within the scriptures, to dig not only into what particular passages mean, but even further into the words and into the original languages that surround those words. And yet, we've explored the Pentateuch and we've explored the Gospels and Paul's letters. I've got to spend a lot of time in Amos and the other prophets, and yet 1 Kings just sort of seemed like almost an oversight. And I said, well, in 3 years, I ought to be able to cover the Bible at least. One might expect somebody in seminary to do that. And I figured, all right, let's take a look at 1 Kings. Now, you might be wondering, excuse me, this is 1 Kings, and yet Israel's King David is on his deathbed by chapter 2? What is this about? Well, it's an interesting story to tell. Here is the narrative hook of the entire book. The narrative hook that says, I am passing things on. David is not only recognizing that his time, his ministry, his reign is coming to an end, but also that somebody else is going to continue that reign, that ministry. And what he does in this time, even at the very beginning of this book, is encapsulate some very powerful teachings that we have been passed down through what the NRSV calls the law of Moses. Within this law, we have an opportunity. Within this Torah, we have instruction to learn. But what are we being taught? We are being taught that there's a relationship between the Lord and the Lord's people. And not just some faraway Lord, but somebody who is right here, who has expectations, who has an understanding, but who also has a testimony. I am a United Methodist, and yet, as a United Methodist, I had not heard of testimonies until I got to Virginia. And so it's a strange sort of experience to figure this tradition that United Methodists have of giving a testimony, and yet to flip it on its head and to say that God has a testimony for us. Now, this is nice and pretty and almost sometimes funny, but here we are in a real church with a real Bible, with real expectations that this means something. And so we come to this question of, do we hear each other? Now, we have this scripture in 1 Kings where we experience Solomon listening to David. Granted, he needs to be on his deathbed, but that might even be an opportunity for us to listen to David as well. On his deathbed, he charges Solomon to carry on this ministry of overseeing a people. But we have struggled as Christians generally and specifically within the United Methodist Church around what it means to hear one another. A hard experience for a lot of people was our last general conference in 2012. And you might be saying to yourself, Pete, what does 2012 have to do with us right now? And I would say, because in 2016, just over a year from now, we're going to be doing it again. We're going to be gathering in Portland this time to discuss the church. To discuss not only the church, but everything that binds it together. And so it's interesting that what brings us such trepidation isn't so much the fact that 2012 happened, but that 2016 is fast approaching. Now, there might be some of you in this room who are able to say, whew, I'm happy I'm not United Methodist. In part because I was doing that yesterday when I was saying, whew, I'm happy that I'm not MCUSA, as I learned that you all are meeting this summer to discuss things that matter to the church. Talk about pressure. But here we are. We're examining what it means that all of these things have been so troublesome. And what are these things? Well, y'all might remember that America got sort of stressed out when there was an election for the president of the United States, and it had to go to the Supreme Court to decide who won the election. Well, it's just as stressful when you have to go to the judicial council of the denomination to find out if your legislation passes. And that was the case with itinerancy and the way that we treat our pastors, the way that we understand what it means to covenant with one another, not only to go wherever God would lead us, but also to maintain and support those pastors as we lead them from one place to another, as they are sent, wherever there is need. But then there was also a struggle around our social principles and whether or not our social principles were a place where we could have a discussion or whether or not they were in so much a creed. And we struggled. And so we struggled to hear each other, not only to hear our concerns, but to hear the scripture within us. And so to take a closer look at 1 Kings 2:3 and to ask ourselves, is there any guidance within that? Now, forgive me, this is my translation of the Hebrew. I only say that as to say if there is blame to be had, it's mine. If you love this, understand that I did this in relationship with numerous people. And if there's anything that I want to draw attention to, it's that I couldn't have done this without the support of all of those people. But be strong. Be a man. Hold to the charge of our Lord, your God, walking in God's path and preserving God's laws, commands, judgments, and testimonies, just as it is written in the Torah of Moses. In this way, you will become wise in whatever you do and wherever you go. One of the distinctions that I want to make out of this is that both the NRSV and my translation are translations. If we see God's message to us is something profound and something worthy of consideration, then we find ourselves encountering Scripture, and sometimes it just seems a bit overwhelming. Sometimes we might get stuck on a word or stuck on a phrase, and it's hard to move forward. But if we open ourselves to faithfulness, to an understanding that the other person, Scripture sometimes calls this other person our enemy. If this other person, our enemy, is speaking God's word, then just maybe we're working with different translations. You might be wondering, why do I have be a man while the NRSV has be courageous? And I would say, well, in part, that's what the Hebrew says. And my job becomes a lot easier as soon as I say, I'm just going to put what the Hebrew puts. Also, because I think a large part of what it means to be royalty in the ancient Near East is to make a strict decision about whether or not you are going to be a God king or a man king. And once we recognize our humanity, the rest of this verse makes a lot more sense. Once we recognize that Solomon isn't aspiring to be a deity, but Solomon is desiring to open himself to the possibility that he can be directed by God, there's something powerful there. On his deathbed, we hear the words of David's lips. His lips intone 5 books of the Bible into just a couple verses. We hear God's word within David's words. These are not things that he made up, but these are things that he has brought into his experience and what he passes along to Solomon. And our voyeurism is an example for others. If you're wondering, what does this have to do with our identity as a missional people, part of that mission is to be recognized as somebody looked at. When we can recognize our own humanity, when we can recognize that we aren't aspiring to be gods, but we are aspiring to be people who are governed by God, at that point, others can see us. And that is powerful. But there are implications to what I am arguing. We are more than a group of people. We are governed by God. We hear within the community of believers and beyond. And just because our lips can hold the word of the Lord doesn't mean everything we say is holy. We have a responsibility to humility in all that we say. As one person put it, taste the words you say before you spit them out. Now, as I've shared about translation, I also share about the rest of my ideas. If you have a problem with my ideas, they're mine. If you like anything that I've said, it probably came from somebody else. And I would encourage you to scribble these down. And That said, I invite us to enter into a time of questions.